Welcome back to Skin the Surface. My name is Dr. Rena, board-certified dermatologist, and I'm the host for this week's episode. As a dermatologist, tackling dry skin, acne, and anti-aging with over-the-counter is very difficult for not only the patient, but also the dermatologist. And finding the perfect over-the-counter that is worthwhile is key in patients of all skin types and of all ages. On this week's episode, I'm excited to be joined by an integral member of the La Roche-Posay team, Tyler Steele. Tyler is a vice president of medical and media relations for La Roche-Posay, a brand within L'Oreal. La Roche-Posay, you might have heard of it on commercials, in grocery stores, and personal care stores, but even on TikTok and Instagram, but it is a leading skincare brand around the world. And you will find out after listening to this episode why it is not only my favorite, but many dermatologists around the country's favorite. Welcome, Tyler.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rena. I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to talk about La Roche-Posay, a brand you know well. And for those listening that you may not know, Dr. Rena and I have known each other since she was a resident, and I'm so proud of her journey and her continual development of her expertise. And it's a great service to her listeners to be able to bring that expertise for people to be able to take better care of their skin.
Thank you. Thank you. That's so sweet. Before diving into the nuts and bolts of La Roche-Posay as a brand and the research and the development behind the brand, can you share with us about your interest and background in skincare? What made you interested in kind of your journey, you know, developing towards developing in this company?
Well, I didn't have the most circuitous route. I actually started out working in independent film and television, but I'd always had an interest in skincare, even from when I was a little kid. I was that one that was like opening my parents' medicine chest and playing with my dad's Old Spice and my mom's Olay. And in high school, I loved chemistry, but I knew that I didn't necessarily want to be the one mixing up the creams and lotions. And I went to a very, very small high school, and my guidance counselor was like, "So you want to be in advertising?" I don't think they really knew what marketing or other parts of, developing skincare meant. So I was like, well, they don't really seem to know what I want to do. So I guess I'll go pursue film and television, which I did for 10 years, and then was lucky enough through an interesting evolvement of events to work for a husband and wife team that developed a personal microdermabrasion company. I worked there for a while and then worked at Murad and Dermalogica, then went into pharma working on Cetaphil and Galderma. And then through there, I was lucky enough to come over to L'Oreal and work at La Roche-Posay in various capacities through my skincare journey, which is the journey of love of skincare. I've also worked as a beauty and grooming writer for magazines, worked as an esthetician, got my aesthetics license and advanced training while I was at Dermalogica. So I have a lot of skin in the game, so to speak. It's really my passion area. You will not leave my house without a gift bag of products, and you cannot invite me to your house if you're not comfortable with me peeking inside your beauty collection, your skincare collection, to give my opinions on what's good. And I will do so in a fair and balanced way, much like doctors do, because I look at all brands, and I'm a fan of many other brands and their products as well.
Yeah, I am the same way. I'm always looking at the ingredients of what my friends are deciding. Can you share the story behind La Roche-Posay? Is there a meaning behind the name? This question actually comes up quite a bit by my patients. What does La Roche-Posay mean? If you can share kind of the story behind the name.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And actually, Dr. Winnie, you'd be surprised. There's actually a lot of dermatology healthcare providers and dermatologists that still aren't completely familiar with that story. So La Roche-Posay is a town in France. It's in the middle of the country almost, in a region called Vienne, which is closer to the most famous region, I guess, that you would all know of. It's called Loire. It's where all the castles are. Several hundred years ago, French people started to discover that the thermal waters there were very therapeutic. In fact, a lot of people referred them as velvet water. And over 100 years ago, they created a center that would start using those waters to help treat patients. It's called balneotherapy. Balneotherapy is actually very common in Europe. It's used primarily for arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, those type of issues. But there are certain concentrations of certain things in certain waters that give therapeutic benefits to various skin conditions, namely atopic dermatitis, plaque psoriasis, general skin sensitivities, various contact dermatitis, and in our center, post-cancer treatment. The water there is rich in strontium, selenium, and other trace minerals. You could say essentially the water has a unique fingerprint. The raw water that's used is also prescribed by doctors to drink up to a liter a day or sometimes a half a liter. The water is also rich in various bacteria. And why that's important, Dr. Rina, for people is in some of those inflammatory skin conditions, namely atopic dermatitis, some post-cancer patients, and especially the atopic dermatitis patients, their skin is lacking the healthy diversity in their microbiome, that collection of bacteria that lives on all of us that's associated with healthy skin. And the atopic dermatitis patients in particular, there tends to be an overpopulation of Staph aureus. There's a lot to learn still about the microbiome, and research is constantly being done, but I think most people in the dermatology and healthcare space would agree that an overrepresentation and overpopulation of Staph aureus on dry, cracked, often fissured skin is not going to be a great playground if we're you know, using the metaphor of skin as a playground for Staph aureus to overpopulate. So the microbiome being rebalanced while the barrier is being repaired is really tantamount to achieving a healthy outcome. That center is recognized by the French National Authority, the French medicine system, so that patients going there can actually have it covered or reimbursed by their insurance. So someone like Dr. Rina could write out the prescription for a French patient and they can go for 3 weeks of treatment. About 47 years ago, a chemist in the town, because in France and in other European countries, the pharmacies are all owned by a pharmacist, and they really can just own two. This particular pharmacist, like many compounds or mixes up their own things, sometimes medicine, sometimes moisturizers or cleansers that include a medicine. And he decided to start using the La Roche-Posay water instead of the regular city water, and found that the products helped maintain the results of those patients, especially after they left. So that's how the brand was born. And as I mentioned, you know, the pharmacists there, they own the pharmacies, they can only own two. So the brand really grew a pharmacy at a time. People were told, you know what, go back to your town, ask your local pharmacist to call this pharmacy and order what you need. And at the time it was very, very different from French traditional skincare. Started out very small and really grew by word of mouth. And as Dr. Rina said today, it's available everywhere. And it's one of the fastest growing recommended brands by dermatologists, which we're incredibly proud of, because all of our work really goes back to thinking about those patients that go to the center and how to improve their quality of life and their skin.
That's amazing. I mean, that's incredible that it just started out so small like that and has grown to what it is today. As a dermatologist, when recommending skincare products, my main focus is the science behind the product. And I know you've definitely got into that a little bit as well, with just kind of the story behind La Roche-Posay. And I had a really unique opportunity, like you mentioned, where we first met, to learn more firsthand about the science behind the product. For listeners, can you explain a little bit more about the science behind the product, or maybe, the product development?
Sure. So one thing I should also mention that's unique to La Roche-Posay is that in addition to the center being in the center of the town, the factory is also there. So the water is pumped up, used on the patients, but then also used at our factory to be in all of our products. We do use that therapeutic water in everything that La Roche-Posay makes. So we take the approach, because we're dealing with patients with skin sensitivities oftentimes, it's as much as what we include as what we exclude. So our R&I team, they work sometimes across multiple brands. Sometimes we have people that are dedicated to just La Roche-Posay, but they're constantly on the lookout for things that are dermatologically approved, dermatologically relevant, that can help with various skin pathologies. But then for the products that we don't necessarily bring into doctors' offices to make them aware of on a regular basis, like our anti-aging products, our retinols, we also even take a very different R&I approach with those, because we realize people with skin sensitivity may want to be able to use a retinol, but they probably can't use a lot of the retinols that are on the market because of skin sensitivity. So we look for ways to encapsulize ingredients, to buffer them with other ingredients to make them more tolerable. We really try to listen as closely as we can, not being dermatologists, to what dermatologists have to tell us. And what we routinely hear is efficacy can never come at the expense of tolerability, especially for patients that are prone to sensitivity. So I would say the big ethos for La Roche-Posay is make sure that whatever you're working on has tolerability and skin sensitivity in mind. And the goal is to achieve both that efficacy and tolerability to benefit the patient and make the doctors feel confident in both the science, but also, you know, where the rubber meets the road. You can have great science, but if it's still not something that's cosmetically elegant, if it's not something that's accessible to the patients in the way of, you know, store and price point, and if it's not something that just feels good on their skin, ultimately they're not going to use it and you're not going to recommend it.
Right, exactly. And like you mentioned, for retinols, and I find that their La Roche-Posay's moisturizers are great because a lot of patients who have eczema or really dry skin, especially our pediatric patients or adolescent patients, they don't like something that's heavy or greasy or thick or occlusive. And so they're really looking for more of a lightweight formula. And I think La Roche-Posay, the products that they offer, especially for the face and then the body, is nice and light. Like the formula is very lightweight where it doesn't feel heavy or, that they can just put it on and do their normal routine. They don't feel like they have to, you know, put their hands out and let it air dry before they put their clothing on or put their makeup or other moisture.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. That's great feedback. And, you know, sometimes I've seen changes in the way people prescribe OTC and skincare as well, too, over the years. And it's interesting, when I first started out, a lot of the brands that were popular would have something that could be used from head to toe. And they would say, you know, we'd hear feedback, oh, well, it's just marketing fluff to have something for the face and the body. And as an esthetician, as a skincare, I don't want to say junkie, but a skincare kid and skincare lover, I know my skin on my face is very different from my body. And I think sometimes we really do take the approach of having something that can be cosmetically elegant and something you want to put on your skin for your face. It might be different for your body. I mean, I do hear people using Lipikar on their face, and I always think, wow, that's interesting. That really is quite a rich formula. And I use it on my body, but I don't know that I'd be brave enough to put it on my face.
Oh, no, I've had some acne prone patients put it on their face just because they get dry skin.
Yeah.
I have not heard of anyone complain about any acne exacerbations, but but I'm always surprised, even though it says body, that they, you know, but I think that's kind of a testament that, you know, the product itself, if it's not too heavy and they don't feel like it's occlusive or, you know, that it is, you know, not, doesn't have any, extraneous, botanical or plant-based ingredients that might be irritating the skin. I think that's helpful, you know, for the patient, especially those with dry, sensitive skin.
Absolutely.
So, Kit, I know we talked a little bit about just kind of alluding to the dry skin, the acne, the anti-aging, but what kind of products does La Roche-Posay offer? Do you guys have, you know, just an acne, like a brand of for acne products, anti-aging, dry skin? What kind of products do you guys offer?
We have all of it, and I'm always a giddy kid in the candy store when I go to France and I go into a very big pharmacy because they actually carry a lot more SKUs there than we even have here, including hypoallergenic makeup, which were really developed for post-cancer people who've gone through lupus, other skin conditions where they just might not be able to tolerate traditional makeup. In the USA, most of our products are made in France, right there in the town of La Roche-Posay. They do produce some special products for us in the USA. We do produce a few by bringing in the water in the USA because the FDA regulations around certain acne products, some sunscreens are different. There are products that we bring into doctors' offices to educate them on the clinical information and provide samples and coupons and trades for the doctor to try out. Those include both acne products that have some actives in them to help treat acne that can either be used alone, what we call monotherapy, or in tandem with someone like Dr. Rena might write as a prescription. And then we have products, gentle cleansers and moisturizers in our Tellurian line that are really designed for sensitive skin and are quite popular with a lot of doctors to prescribe to their patients because they do help offset those treatment side effects that can come with some acne medications. And those are probably our the most popular products in our line. We have a number of anti-aging serums that are also quite popular, and I find them to be a very good and fair price point for the amount of research and development and data that we have behind them. And in fact, we are just launching a new one called Melabee 3 that's been 18 years in the works with our R&I team to help address various forms of discoloration, including even post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. We also have some products that we don't bring into offices, but that are available in stores online that are for drier skin. There's a line called Substian that's really great for drier, more mature skin where the skin has started to slow down in regeneration and lipid production and oil production. We also have a line called Hydraphase, which I personally am a big fan of. It's a more lightweight moisturizer with some nice active ingredients in there, including hyaluronic acid. And that fits into that nice, lovely, lightweight texture that Dr. Rena mentioned. And then, of course, we have our body products like Lipikar, which, as Dr. Rena mentioned, can also be used on face for people that need a bit more hydration there. But that's a nice bottle with a pump that you can use. A lot of doctors recommend. I never know what you call this thing, Dr. Rena, in the shower for women that are using it to shave their legs. But a lot of doctors have told me they keep their patients, tell them, put it right there because you can put it on while your skin is still a little bit damp in the winter.
Yeah, use it like an app.
Yeah, and then, of course, we have some additional products. I can tell you have a lot of my friends that are women love our mascara. I've not personally tried it, but people really do love it, and they find it is not only really great and effective, but it doesn't give any irritation for people that are prone to very sensitive eyes.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
Yes, yes. I should know that, but as a man that doesn't use mascara, I'm not.
Now, we talked about the development and the research, but in terms of safety, can you explain the process behind product safety? How long does this process usually take after you've researched a product and development has started to kind of talk about evaluating the safety and making sure that it contains allergy-free ingredients?
Well, the timeline, and this isn't an area that I work on as much anymore, but I have done product development in the past. And my experience having done that is it really varies product by product because there are so many moving parts that pertain to both stability and safety, because if a product becomes unstable, then it might not be as tolerable as safe. So, and if this is boring information, you just tell me, skip ahead. But, you know, you have to do heat testing, you have to do package testing, compatibility testing, freeze testing. And once a formula is done and stable and approved, then you have to do all the various testing that big, large companies, and hopefully all the smaller ones do as well. There's something called RIPT testing, which is repeat irritation patch testing. La Roche-Posay, because we're such a large brand and because we're part of L'Oreal, we have the ability and the requirements to test on very large scales of populations in multiple countries and multiple ethnicities. And that's always important for us to do so since the brand is available globally. We also do on some products what we call large-scale observational studies. So that's where products are fielded to different doctors' offices to have them test those things as well. So there's the clinical testing that's done, and that can take usually several months. And then there's the real-world testing that we like to call it in the way of observational studies that are done. And usually those take many months to complete. But all of our tests, all of our products go through various tests and are tested under dermatological control, often at what we call CROs, or which is basically just an acronym for a testing study done under the aegis of a dermatologist with a wide range of patient types.
That's great. And then, you know, talking about the marketing behind the brand and how it started, just from, you know, on such a smaller scale to now it's globally recognized, as you mentioned. Can you share with us about your marketing approach or the brand's marketing approach?
Sure. Well, for those listening in, I've been on the brand for 11 years. We were very small when I started, and I had come over from Cetaphil, which was really a quite large brand at the time. And we were so small, we used to have to carry in these displays of products that we were trying to get into a drugstore chain called Duane Reade, which is owned by Walgreens, but it's known in New York. Can you imagine now, like, our little marketing team carrying in these 8 product displays? They couldn't afford to ship them all over the city. It was going to just destroy any margin we had, and we would have lost money on it. But our base has always been to work with the dermatologist and come in and ask for a little bit of time when you have it and go through our clinical and safety data on the products and share the ways that we've tested it and ask in which ways in this particular practice might some of these products be suitable. And then we typically give the products to the doctors and their staff to trial themselves, because I think it's important for people themselves to be familiar with the product and make sure that it works for them and their family before they trust giving it out to their patients. That's been our main business model. We partner with our sister brand CeraVe to call on a wide range of dermatology offices. But then, of course, as the brand has evolved and we've grown and had a bit more money to invest in other areas of marketing, we've definitely invested in digital and been able to increase our store presence, especially at places like Ulta and Target. And then, of course, social media has been a great way for us to be able to amplify the voice of the brand and to help partner in many cases with dermatologists, either through derm influencers or in other ways. You know, I have handled PR for the brand for many, many years and have always partnered with a dermatologist as the speaking voice to be able to educate the media about different disease states or different skin conditions before we talk about our products, because we think it's important to educate those that are talking to you, the public, about what's going on with the skin. So that's really it. I mean, we really just try to approach everything that we do, whether it's social media, PR, in-store marketing, or other digital marketing, to try and put forth our data, our science, and the quality of our products, and hopefully the trust that we've been able to gain and earn with dermatology healthcare providers is something that's resonating with people, because there are a lot of choices out there and there are a lot of things that people use, sometimes probably too many. I still know sometimes when I look at my friends' cabinets, I'm like, really? 17 steps? That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
There might be some things in here that are maybe working against each other.
Yeah, I know, especially with, I'm noticing a lot of younger patients, even, you know, 9, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old girls, and even boys, with, you know, a lot of skincare steps and skincare fridges. And, you know, I never had that when I was that age. So it's interesting to see, you know, more of a earlier interest in skincare. So it's great that that you guys are not only focusing on the product, but also the disease state. And then can you share with us any advancements or anything on the developments in the pipeline for Lovers per se, anything to look forward to?
I can share a little bit about the product I mentioned earlier that's launching right now. It's called MelaV3, and it's designed to be used either alone, what we call monotherapy, or what doctors call monotherapy, or with things that doctors may prescribe to help deal with various forms of hyperpigmentation, or rather discoloration and post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. It is a nice lightweight serum, and there is a companion moisturizer. The product is also has high concentrations of niacinamide, which has also shown clinical efficacy on discoloration. We do have some other exciting things that are coming out. I can't say too much, but I can say that when we work on something, we're not always concerned with being first to market. It's really trying to be best to market. We have a really popular tinted mineral sunscreen that we've been working on expanding to offer more shades to be able to match to a wide, wide range of skin tones. And I can say that that is coming out in the coming months. And we're very, very excited about that, because we've been working with dermatologists for quite some time to make sure that the mineral shades that are coming out will offer a great, elegant sunscreen that will be able to match a much wider range of shades than we've been able to do today. And those Anthelios mineral sunscreens with tint will also have our proprietary Celox Shield, which is really designed to just boost the efficacy of filters and boost the efficacy of antioxidants to help with that UV-induced free radical damage that can lead to premature aging and other concerns that would be, you know, potentially harmful to skin. But that's as far as I can go on that because...
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
For, you know, a lot of my patients, a lot of my interest is in also skin of color, and I've done some episodes on skin of color with some guests, and it's just always great to have different, you know, skincare products that are more tailored towards hyperpigmentation, and then also with also kind of targeting different shades of skin and different skin concerns. So that's great.
Yeah, we're really excited. And as someone who works from a window every day in California, I keep my sunscreen right by my desk, and I myself am a little rosacea-y, and I have to admit, Dr. Reina, I don't always follow my own dermatologist with the caffeine and I do get a little flushy, so I'm excited for additional shades as well to protect.
Right, definitely. Exactly. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you so, so much, Tyler. I have learned so much, and I hope you all learned as well. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and as well as YouTube, and subscribe to our website at skinandsurfacepod.com. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, feel free to comment on the episode. Let us know any additional topics in regards to your skin that you would like to hear more about. Thank you so much again, Tyler.
Thank you, Dr. Reina, and thank you for listening.